Well, welcome to another podcast with yours truly, Craig Heist, along with MLB.com, Nationals beat writer Bill Latson. We are about ready to start games down here in spring training, and there's been almost 2 weeks worth of full practices. What are you seeing so far?
I'm seeing that the pitching staff is going to be really great. It's really built up really to be good. Steven Strasburg looks good. Jordan Zimmermann looks good. Gio. I mean, they all really look good. Tyler Clippard. Out of the bullpen, Drew Storen. It's going to be a great year for them. The only thing I'm concerned with, as I've always said, is the offense, and that's going to be the key.
Well, we'll wait and see. Do they get another bat? Is there a trade coming down the road in about the middle of the month?
I think they will get another bat. You know, I mentioned last week they were interested in Parra of the Diamondbacks, but, you know, we got to wait and see. It depends on who they give up, and I'm expecting Mike Rizzo to make a deal before opening day.
Well, certainly John Lannon's name is first and foremost front and center when you think about a trade. I've asked him about it. He says, hey, I'm not worried about it. If I'm a Washington National, I'll be one until they tell me differently. But you kind of get the feeling if they want to upgrade this offense, he's going to be the number one guy they move.
There's no question in my mind that John Lannon is going to be traded, although we got to keep this in mind now. The pitchers have to stay healthy. You know, the Chinming Wongs, the Edwin Jacksons of the world. And if they're healthy, then there's no question John Lannon will be traded. If they're not, John Lannon will be here.
You're going to have Gio Gonzalez, Edwin Jackson, Steven Strasburg, Jordan Zimmermann, and then in the five-hole, Bill, you're looking at Ross Detweiler, Chinming Wong, Lannon is into that mix. How does Davey Johnson go about figuring this out between now and the time the season starts?
I'll be honest with you, Craig. You know, there's nothing to figure out. Chinming Wong is going to be that fifth guy, and Chinming Wong has to be healthy. They didn't sign Chinming Wong to be in the bullpen. So I think Ross Detweiler, when it's all said and done, will be in that bullpen, and if someone gets hurt, he'll be the first to be starting in the rotation.
On Thursday of this past week, we were in the manager's office when Davey Johnson said, you know, I think Danny Espinosa probably should have won a gold glove last year. And you smiled ear to ear. We all looked at you because, really, we told you all last year that he was not going to win the gold glove. Even if he deserved it, he wasn't going to win the gold glove. Yet, there's a little bit of vindication for you.
Yes. You know, I'll say it again. You know, when Davey Johnson mentioned it today, I mean, I'm not going to disagree. You know, I wonder what the voters were watching because I've seen Brandon Phillips play, and he's not better than Danny Espinosa. Danny Espinosa is outstanding in terms of range. And, yeah, he should have won. He probably didn't win because of his batting average. He probably didn't hit enough home runs. To me, when I watch Brandon Phillips, it looks like I'm watching an NBA game where he's playing tricks and all that. Danny Espinosa doesn't do that stuff. He just plays an excellent second base.
Well, now, you know, I said to Davey in our press conference, I said, you know, I asked Danny about that. What do you got to do to win the gold glove? And he said, hit 35 home runs. And Davey looked at me and smiled and said, that's the wrong answer.
Well, you know, Danny Espinosa has a point. I can remember, you know, growing up in New York, Steve Garvey winning the gold gloves, and he was not a good first baseman. I don't care what anyone says. And somehow he was winning those gold gloves. So I agree with Danny Espinosa. He has to have a great offensive year to win the gold glove.
What do you look for in the first week or two of spring training as these games get going? Obviously, the starting pitchers are limited to like 40 pitches, two or three innings at the absolute most. But what do you look for?
This year, especially, I have to look at the offense. We have to see what Ian Desmond does. We have to see if Jason Wirth is really back. Obviously, Ryan Zimmerman has fully recovered. There's no question in my mind about that. You also have to look at Adam LaRoche now because he still has the shoulder problems. He now has an ankle injury now. So there's a lot of question marks there. And, Mike Rizzo's going to have to make a decision pretty soon once he sees the way this offense works.
Well, you know, I mean, let's give LaRoche the benefit of the doubt. We knew the shoulder wasn't going to be 100% until he got a whole full spring training under his belt. And even then, it might not be 100%. But he says he feels good at the plate, swinging, throwing. He says it's a soreness, but it's a good soreness. The ankle, He's going to give it a couple of days to make sure. Now, he wants to play Sunday, but he's going to give it a couple of days to make sure that nothing else happens with it. But you're right. There is an injury issue with him. But that's one of the reasons Mark DeRose is here. Some of the other guys, you know, worst comes to worst, they can find another outfielder. They can move Michael Morris back from left field to first base. That's certainly an option. There are, and that's the good thing about this club right now, there's depth to be able to do that.
I'll tell you, though, Mark DeRosa is my wild card pick. You know, I remember how he was with the Cubs. I mean, he was just, wow. I mean, he was awesome. I mean, hitting home runs to the opposite field. And I remember him being one of Lou Piniella's favorite players. So if he can come back from injuries.
Well, now, I talked to him this week, and I said to him, I said, there was a stretch between 06 and 09 where your numbers were pretty darn good for what you were doing. He was playing full time, and then of course the wrist injury, and now you have to wonder. The good news is he says he hasn't been to the training room yet. That's what you have to hope for.
Oh, there's no question, and you know what? So far, so good with him, and I think he'll make a nice comeback this year. I love his attitude. I love the way he's going about his business, and I mean, I've watched him hit batting practice. He looks pretty good. He doesn't have the power. He'll be the first to admit that, but I think it will come sooner or later.
You talk attitude. There is a vibe in this clubhouse that I haven't seen around here at all since they've been here.
Never. There's never been a vibe prior to this year, and I mean, you bring back memories of how it was from 2005 to really 2009. I keep telling you, things started to change when Rizzo hired Jim Riggleman because you had there was accountability issue before Riggleman came. And once Riggleman came, all of a sudden everyone was accountable for their actions.
And you know Davey Johnson's going to hold you accountable.
Yeah, that's correct. That's correct. And it continued after Johnson came in. So that's why there's that good vibe as well.
One of the other things I like about Davey, and I covered him, of course, in Baltimore, 96 and 97, the one thing he's doing with this club, Bill, is he's letting most of the guys get ready at their own pace. And we see it obviously with LaRoche out of necessity. But a lot of these guys, some pitchers, some position players, they know what it takes to get ready. They know what they want. He mentioned Ryan Zimmerman, like, for example, 50 at-bats. That's what he likes to get in the spring. And he's allowing them to do that.
Well, that's why there's a good vibe as well, because it seems like Davey Johnson is not, he's not a dictator. He's not telling them they must do this, they must do that. And that's why everyone's relaxed. I mean, it dates back to last year when he first came. And, you know, I think if you talk to even the hitters, they'll tell you that things started to change. They started to relax at the plate because of Davey Johnson. I expect that to continue this year.
This bullpen, the strength of the club last year, without question. They've added Brad Lidge. You're certainly hoping Drew Storen gets a lot of save opportunities this year because that means they're winning and in a position to win late in ball games. But if Storen has to go for maybe 5 days in a row, by the time that fifth day rolls around, it's nice to have somebody like Lidge there that you might be able to stick in that role, or you could stick Clippard in that role.
Yeah, I think Clippard's going to be that guy. I mean, Brad Lidge is going to be basically a teacher, and he is going to be one of the setup guys. But the way I look at Brad Lidge is that he's going to be a teacher first, then, you know, worry about the saves, you know, down the road. And I think even, don't forget, after Clippard and Storen, you have Henry Rodriguez as well. So I expect Henry Rodriguez to have a big year as well. So don't forget him.
When you look at this offense, and you, like you said, it's a concern. One thing Davey Johnson does want is left-handed bats. And he's got a couple of them. Certainly Bryce Harper is one of them. But that's what he's looking mainly for, to kind of balance this lineup out, something he didn't have a lot of last year.
No, he didn't. And to be honest with you, Craig, you know, I've said this in my mailbags, and I'll say it again to you. You know, I think Bryce Harper is their best option. You know, I have respect for Bernardino, and I have respect for Rick Ankiel. But to me, they're not better than Bryce Harper. I think Bryce Harper would bring that vibe, as you would put it, to that lineup. And I think he would be a difference maker when it comes to this team.
Well, certainly defensively, if you have him in right field, you've got a cannon for an arm out there, and that's where you want it.
Well, that's true, but Bryce Harper has to learn to hit that cutoff man too. And that was a problem somewhat last year. You know, I spoke to Tony Beasley about a week ago, and that's something Bryce Harper needs to improve on. Obviously, he needs to improve the base running, and he needs to cut down on the strikeouts a little bit. So,
well, let me ask you this about Bryce. Certainly in the offseason, we've seen the Twitter issues. We've seen him be able to say – hang on. We've been able to say some things that maybe a lot of people disagree with. Now, he's canceled his Twitter account. How much do you think management said, hey, look, tone it down a little bit? What's the difference between being confident and cocky when it comes to this guy?
First of all, I'm sure management played a role in him not having that Twitter account. But to me, Craig, I just don't see what the controversy is all about. I mean, you know, in my opinion, so what he likes the Cowboys? So what? You know, Craig Stammen loves the Bengals. What's the controversy? And I just say, you know, to me, this is a non-story. Just move on. And I know he said some things to me about Joe Namath, which some people misinterpreted. He was talking about Joe Namath of the 1960s and early 70s.
Of course, guaranteeing the Super Bowl win, his flamboyant style, just not only on the field, but off of it somewhat too, a little bit.
Right, but so what if Bryce Harper is cocky and confident? To me, that's a good thing. I mean, I've known players with the Nationals in the past who were cocky and confident, but they didn't back it up with the talent.
No, I think that's one of the reasons why Davey Johnson supports him so much.
Yes, and you know, and rightfully so. I mean, the guy is really that good. I mean, I think he's going to be a star. He should be, you know, the opening day right fielder. You know, and like I said, you know, I respect Rick Ankiel. I respect Roger Bernardino. But to me, Bryce Harper is the best option, without a doubt.
Well, I don't like the fact that he likes the Yankees. I don't like the fact that he likes the Cowboys. And quite frankly, I don't like you for liking the Yankees.
Hey, you know, what do you want me to say, Craig? I can't help it. You know, I mean, everyone knows I grew up a Thurman Munson fan. He was my all-time favorite player. And I don't know, man. That will never go away.
And anyone that knows you can't help yourself. Let me ask you about this team going forward now as we get closer to the season. In this division, Phillies, Braves, you have to look at the Marlins if people stay healthy. This is turning into the American League East in a lot of ways.
Yeah, it's becoming much more powerful, no question about it. I think what it comes down to is the pitching and the offense. And for me, for the Nationals to win that division, they have to improve their offense. I still say the Phillies are the team to beat without question. I think the Nationals are better than the Braves. I still think they're better than the Marlins. I think they're going to challenge for that wild card at least.
Even if they don't make a move to get another bat, you have to feel like Jason Worth, with a year under his belt here, could probably return to being a 20-25 home run guy driving in close to 100. If you have a healthy Ryan Zimmerman all year long, that's going to make this lineup better. If you have Desmond at the top of it with Espinoza hitting second. You can move Worth down in the lineup. If Harper's here, he's probably, you know, a major factor. So they have a chance at being better, even if they don't add a bat,
yes,
than they were last year.
Yes, without a doubt. Because, you know, because of the injuries, they have to have an injury-free season. And, yes, I think Jason Worth will have protection this time. You know, last year there wasn't a Ryan Howard, there wasn't a Chase Utley in that lineup. But I think with everyone healthy now, with Morris and Ryan Zimmerman, I expect Jason Worth to have an even better year.
Bill, impressions of a few players that are newcomers to this team. Number one, Gio Gonzalez.
Great guy. And, you know, the games haven't started yet, but I'm expecting a lot of strikeouts and a lot of wins.
From that standpoint, we move over to Edwin Jackson. Here's a guy who, yeah, I know they're trying to tweak with him a little bit to try to fix some of the control problems.
Consistency. He needs to be consistent. And that's been tough for him the last few years. So hopefully, you know, they can fix his problems while he's pitching in the windup. And, you know, hopefully, you know, he can be a dominant pitcher. A
couple of guys have faced Steven Strasburg with the live batting practice, and a couple of them have made comments about it. Wow, he's good, that kind of thing. God-given ability. Heard that from DeRosa the other day.
Right.
You get those kind of comments when people go into the cage against him.
Well, you know, Steven Strasburg, he's obviously back from where he was in 2010, even late last year. But, you know, we got to remember, too, you know, there's going to be an innings limit. He's going to pitch 160 innings, regardless if they're in the postseason or not. So we'll see what happens and just take it from there.
Jordan Zimmermann, a lot of people expect big things out of him this year.
I always expect big things from him. You know how much I love to make wild predictions. And
yeah, I know. I've won some bets off a few of them.
Yeah, I would. You know, it would not surprise me if he was a Cy Young award candidate. And I'm expecting a lot of strikeouts and a lot of wins as well.
Well, that means you got to put him in the same category now as Danny Espinosa winning the Gold Glove last year.
Yeah, but you know, I got to say it again. Danny Espinosa deserved that Gold Glove. I'm never going to change my mind on that. I don't care if he was a rookie. He deserved it.
Bill Latson, MLB.com. We'll try to do this before the regular season starts again, and we'll have a better handle on everything by then.
Thanks for having me, Craig.